All right, welcome everyone to Commissioner's Court today. As we begin, I'm going to ask if there is someone here who would volunteer to come to the microphone and offer our invocation for us. Is there someone who would do that, please? Thank you. If you'd state your name as well, and then Commissioner Nowak has agreed to lead us in our pledges.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Lewis. I'm from Navasota, Texas. We have a small non-denominational church there called Grace Covenant Christian Center. And on behalf of the court, let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for permitting us the opportunity and the privilege of gathering together in fellowship around the information and the procedures and agenda that we've adopted for the court today. We pray that candor and honesty would prevail and that truth would be our banner, and that we resolve ourselves to peacefully consider and determine any issues that we might have, that we may resolve them peacefully and in accordance with the people of this county. And we give you praise and glory for giving us your spirit of wisdom and revelation in this endeavor. And for this, we bless your name and we give you praise. In the mighty master's name of Jesus, and all the people said,
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Let the record reflect that four of our five commissioners are here. Commissioner Metz is not here. But we do have a quorum, and so we will move forward. Do I have a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. At this time, we give our citizens an opportunity to come and speak to us. We just want everyone to remember that it's a three-minute time limit. We will time. We're not being rude, but we're just trying to treat everybody the same way. It's a three-minute time limit. When you come, tell us what item on the agenda, either consent or in the open agenda, you'd like to address. And anybody who has a general comment that they'd like to talk about would come at the end. But these first comments, if you state your name for the record, the agenda item, recognize you have 3 minutes. If you want to give us something, ask permission to approach the bench. So who would like to be first and coming and sharing with us today? Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Morning.
Okay, my name is Dawn Bednars, resident of Montgomery County, and I'm here to speak on item number 13. Did you know that the company who manufactured...
The consent agenda, correct, yeah. Correct, go ahead.
Sure. Thank you. The company who manufactured the electronic voting systems that you're going to consider today, the Hart InterCivic system, was sued by a technician who was an employee for the company, saying that the company had committed fraud in selling the systems to the county officials. This suit was brought by William Singer, and he alleges that Hart lied to election officials about the accuracy, testing, reliability, and security of its voting machines, and that the company made misstatements to conceal the voting frailties and vulnerabilities. Hart InterCivic routinely failed to adequately test its software and even created a dummy machine with different hardware and software to undergo the certification process in Ohio. Because Mr. Singer claims that the Hart InterCivic system that you are considering today, the standard configuration would not have passed certification. Did you know the election system that you're going to consider for approval today actually counts the voters' choices? Doesn't count the voters' choices that are printed. We're going to get the paper out. It's going to have that. What it counts is the barcode and the QR code. Humans are not capable of reading a QR code. I mean, can any of y'all read a QR code? And you can't take your phone in and scan it like you do at a restaurant, so you have no idea what was printed on that. That removes all transparency from the voting process. The voter will have no way to know the ballot-creating device printed in the QR code nor what the scanner is actually scanning. Why even create such a complicated and secretive system? Why approve a system that removes transparencies from the voters? Without this transparency, how is a voter supposed to feel confident in the accuracy and integrity of the election when most of, I mean, there's a lot of us, what, you know, like it or not, we're not real sure about it anymore. And that's a sacred right that we have, and it's the foundation of our republic. Did you know that the HART InterCivic system you will consider for approval today was certified by the Texas Secretary of State during COVID? And because of that, the system was the system was never physically examined by the experts, no hands-on examination. It was all done virtually, and they could only just ask questions about it. And they weren't able to perform the usual hands-on exercises that you usually do when certifying a system. Okay, one more sentence.
Thank you, Dawn.
Okay. It's just very concerning to me as a voter, and I will pass off.
We appreciate you coming in and sharing that. Thank you so much. All right. Who will be next? Yes.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Cindy Phillips, and I'm also speaking on item 13A to consider and approve the order to adopt the HART InterCivic Verity Duo voting system.
For the record, I do want to say, and we'll take this consideration of your time, that it is in the open agenda.
Yes,
that
yes
this
sir.
Is not in the consent.
Yes,
so,
sir. It's in the open agenda. Okay.
Proceed.
Okay, thank you. So did you know the election system you will consider for approval today was not properly certified according to Texas Election Code? The national lab that certified the system had expired accreditation credentials at the time they certified the system. Despite many excuses for this, published by the Election Assistance Commission, who accredits the national labs, they have never actually rectified the violation of Texas law, leaving this system illegal according to Texas Admin Code 81.61. Did you know that both the Election Assistance Commission and the Texas Secretary of State's office have what is called a de minimis or minor change program that allows the voting systems and their components to be changed or updated without any recertification or even examination performed? This creates an environment where three unelected programmers at the country's top three voting system companies have the power to manipulate and determine the outcome of U.S. elections undetected, and no one even knows their names, much less their financial ties or political affiliations. Sorry. So this raises an important question. What constitutes a minor change? This is a question worthy of discussion before you make any decision about the use of the election system on today's court agenda for the November 2022 or any election. Until you understand the answer to what constitutes a minor change question, your due diligence responsibility is incomplete, considering it is conceivable that the entire hard drive of the voting system can be changed without any examination by the Election Assistance Commission or the Texas Secretary of State's office. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy. We appreciate your comments. Yes, hey.
I'm Kathy Galleon with God's Digital Angels. I understand about the 3-minute time. If I don't make it, can I give my time to the next person?
They can talk about whatever they would like to, just as long as
with my extra time?
Well, sure.
Okay. Thank you. Did you know that the system, HART InterCivic system, you will consider for approval today was certified by the Texas Secretary of State during COVID? And because of that, the system was certified, even though it had never been physically examined by the experts, as typically done by the certification process. The examination process was instead conducted virtually, with the experts only being allowed to ask questions, but not able to perform usual hands-on exercises done during the certification process that would allow an expert to detect security vulnerabilities. While I don't know if this violated any law, it's certainly very concerning to me as a voter. I yield my remaining time to the next speaker on this topic.
Thank you. I would ask that, just in the spirit of what's reasonable, if you've shared with us something, you're certainly welcome to reshare the exact same thing, although we have already heard it. And but again, it's your prerogative to do that. Thank you. Proceed.
Thank you. My name is Frank Fuss, Montgomery County. Did you know that the system you
were... Are you speaking on, Frank?
I'm sorry, agenda item 13.
Okay, proceed.
Did you know that the system you will consider today for approval has had 9 minor changes since the certification was made by the Secretary of State's office? These minor changes include update to the operating system, a circuit board modification, and changes to the algorithm on the scanners that will tabulate our votes. Were these changes harmless, or were these modifications to the program system with a predetermined outcome for the November 2022 election? The Election Assistance Commission cannot know because they did not certify. The Secretary of State cannot know because they did not certify. You cannot know because you did not certify. Did you know that many of the voting systems in the United States are tested for functionality or accuracy in a test mode? A test mode in a system allows a system to be tested according to one set of code and algorithms, while the normal operating system functions by a completely different set of code. Have you done any research to determine if the system you plan to consider for approval today functions securely and accurately according to the coding and algorithms that will be used in November 2022 election? Did you know that Chapter 64 and 65 of the Texas Election Code outlines a system for hand-marked and hand-counted paper ballots to be used in Texas elections, and you are not required to purchase or use an electronic voting system? Did you know that according
Frank,
to...
Thank you.
That's the end of the First Lady.
Okay, proceed. She still has... That was the end of the First Lady? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Did you know that according to Chapter 65, the counting of those paper ballots can begin 1 hour after the voting begins, and it is not necessary to wait to the end of the election day for counting process to begin? That removes the burden of trying to count all the votes all at once. Personally, off script, I'd like to point out that I've got 34 years as a computer programmer, and I know what code can do behind the scenes. I've worked with assembler code in Microsoft, IBM's mainframes. So I do know that. Thank you for your time.
Frank, we appreciate it so much. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to make comment on any item on the agenda? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Deborah Ferris. I'm going to be addressing item number 13 about elections. I have a frog. Did you know that there's a paper company right here in Texas, a trusted currency printer, Authentics, with the capability to create a process for introducing a highly counterfeit-resistant and secure paper ballot that would cost roughly 28 cents per voter? Did you know the Hart InterCivic system you will consider for approval today was certified by the Election Assistance Commission according to the voting system standards adopted in 2005. Do you think it's possible that technology and security standards have changed since 2005? Would you purchase a new computer system for your home that is 17 years behind modern technology? The Election Assistance Commission updated their voting system standards in 2015, still too old. But why are they still certifying systems based on 2005 standards? The maxim that fraud vitiates or cancels everything applies in the election system you will consider for approval today. Please set aside any plans to use the Hart InterCivic equipment and systems and implement a paper ballot and hand counting system as permissible by Texas Election Code Chapter 65. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Is there anyone else who would like to come? Yes.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Losetta, and I'm going to speak about Agenda Item 13. Last week, I sent each of you an email stating that on Friday, September 2nd, I attended election equipment training on the new Hart Verity 2.5 system that is on the agenda to be approved today. At training, I was surprised to find the Verity scanners were operating on software version 2.5.2 and not version 2.5.1 that is listed on the Secretary of State's website as the appropriate scanner for the Hart Verity 2.5 system. Nor was there an updated listed as a minor change on the Election Assistance Commission or the Texas Secretary of State website. This is very concerning because the Verity 2.5.2 scanner will read our paper ballots and tabulate our votes and ultimately determine the outcome of our elections. Has the Verity 2.5.2 been properly vetted and certified for use by the Texas Secretary of State or the Election Assistance Commission? Both are required by law. During the September 2nd training, I asked one of the election techs, how do I know for sure my ballot will be scanned and tabulated as personally cast on the digital screen and printed on the paper? He said, you don't. Based on my post-training research, I believe this to be true, and it exposes a serious Hart InterCivic system flaw. Please do not approve this system. It is imperfect and unfit for use in Montgomery County or anywhere in America. Please do not subject Montgomery County voters to another illegal election with imperfect, vulnerable, uncertified, and expensive equipment. You have another choice. Chapter 64 and 65 of the Texas Election Code outlines the procedures for hand-marked, hand-counted paper ballots. You are not required to use electronic voting systems. Please use the authority and trust granted to you by the people of Montgomery County to order a full hand count of all ballots to verify accuracy of all these new voting systems before you certify the election of November 2022. Please authorize this publicly so anyone concerned about our elections can participate as volunteers or just observe. Please restore accuracy, transparency, accountability, and faith in our election process. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yay.
Good morning. Bob Holden, Willis, Texas, and item 13 on the agenda. You know that many countries now ban electronic voting because they found that they are not reliable. And perhaps we should be looking at their research. I've seen a lot of evidence right now that tends to lead me to believe that, too. For 30 years, election after election, we're being charged with it was an invalid, illegitimate election. Maybe that's true. But what wasn't done before is looking at the specifics to the degree they're being looked at now. I have personal experience. I worked the polls. You all know that. There were two elections that I questioned what happened. There was a lot of people at one election who went to vote who found that they had already voted, and they had not. A different election, it was a case of those who did check at the end of voting to verify their cast vote, votes had been switched. That happened a lot, but in that election. So maybe the software that was in use at the time. I also question why no judge, with all the lawsuits that were brought during this election, why no judge has allowed access to the verification, to the information, so that somebody could prove that that particular election in that local precinct was correct and valid. Everyone's looking at, oh, we haven't proved that it wasn't valid. Well, no one has proved that it is valid. And that causes question for me. But I would consider that if so many countries are banning electronic voting, perhaps we should too. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on an item on the agenda, either consent or open? We had individuals on this? Yes. If you'd come forward, state your name for the record. And then, ma'am, you'll be next. Go ahead.
My name is Tara Tennant, and I'm speaking on item 12 on the animal shelter on the open agenda. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Tara Tennant. I'm here today to address one issue at MCAS. Animal intake in 2019 was roughly 16,000 animals, 2021 roughly 8,900, and available records show that they're on target for about 7,000 this year. In court on February 8th, Commissioner Nowak in the court addressed this issue, and I thought it was clear that taxpayers were not to be turned away. Here are a few quotes. Someone drops in, take the animal. The whole purpose of this shelter is to intake the animal. I would like to see the court tell them that if someone shows up to the shelter, they have to take them. You and your team provide a service to the county, and you work for all the people in the county, and it's not acceptable for you to tell anyone they have to keep a dog for 2 weeks. That is a problem for me and my constituents. But this continues every day. Taxpayers are turned away in person, by phone, and through canceled appointments. Taxpayers hear this script continuously, and taxpayers reference the ordinance. If you pick up an animal, it's your problem. Put the animal back where you found it. Any animal on a property is considered owned, and we will not pick it up. You have had that animal over 7 days, and you are now the owner, and we don't take owner surrenders. If you feed, water, or house the animal, then you are the custodian, and it is owned. Once again, we don't accept owned animals. So either the ordinance, which hasn't been revised since January 2017, is the issue, or we have a personnel issue. It appears that a system is now in place at MCS to create confusion using the language in the ordinance and rejecting animal intake from all taxpayers. There are no written or published policies or procedures for strays or owner surrenders, and we have requested these for over a year. Literally by the numbers, the difference is 9,000 animals per year that are on your streets, forming packs, reproducing, and attacking citizens, like the case in Magnolia this summer. It is now a public safety issue. The MCAS mission and values first line is to promote and protect public health and safety, and that isn't happening in our county. The issue needs to be resolved, not glossed over once again. The taxpayers deserve written policies that are clear and transparent. This is a county-ran, taxpayer-funded shelter, not a rescue, where you pick and choose what animals you take and who you help. You have a $5 million budget, and limiting intakes and not accepting owner surrenders is not acceptable for the taxpayer. In addition, it is difficult for Spanish speakers, non-tech-savvy, low-income community, and the elderly to navigate this appointment system that's been put in place. I'm done. Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your comments. Yes. State your name for the record.
I am Trudy Bennett. I'm speaking on behalf of Texas Litter Control on item number 12. We are here in support of them continuing managed intake and the community cat program. Owners, they have a large number of options available to them. It's not an urgent situation. 99% of the time when they come in with their surrenders, there's a ton of supported, self-supported options out there. We also support mandatory microchipping of all pets in Montgomery County because that is how you get owners' pets back to their owners. If pets are taken out of their territory, it is a lot harder to get them at home rather than using the found animal systems, the next door, and numerous other options. So we don't want it to be, owners should not be able to take the commitment they had and say, here, it's your problem. So we are here supporting the shelter. Anything that we can do to continue to support the shelter, Texas Litter Control is here 100%.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming and sharing. Yes, ma'am.
Hello. I would like to speak on item number 12 also, and I have some paper if you're interested.
Yes, and your name is?
Sandra Stahl.
Okay. Yes,
may
you
may approach?
Yes. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Sandra Stahl, and I live in Charlie Riley's district. February 2020 and December 2021, I reached out to B.D. Griffin concerning pet rehab and recovery created by the MCAS director. Staff solicited donations through county social media for his nonprofit, and that still continues. He installed credit card machines in the lobby that send funds directly to his nonprofit. The credit card machines were finally removed thanks to Mrs. Bush, but the soliciting of donation continues. When a taxpayer is denied intake, an email canceling their appointment goes out, instructing them to seek other resources, and they're giving a link to the MCAS Resources and Partners page. The first group listed is Mr. Johnson's nonprofit, and they only accept donations, not animals, so it makes no sense. This link has been sent to hundreds of taxpayers via the county email system, potentially collecting money for years without accountability or transparency. Mr. Johnson has stated on Facebook that he was never on the board of Pet Rehab and Recovery.
Excuse me, ma'am. If I could ask a question, since this is an item on the agenda.
Yes.
When you're saying Mr. Johnson, to whom are you referring to?
Your shelter director.
So your claim is that Aaron Johnson has a nonprofit that he solicits money for?
Yes.
That would be a problem.
Yes, he does. And I've brought that to the attention of the court many times, as my emails will show.
Okay. Thank you.
Can
keep
I continue?
Going. Yes.
Sorry. Okay. Let me, hold on. now you lost me here. Okay, where were we? Mr. Johnson stated on Facebook that he was never on the board of Pet Rehab and Recovery. SOS Direct, which I'm sure you're familiar with, shows him listed as a director, and the nonprofit is in tax forfeiture as of June 2022, which jeopardizes the 501c3 status, but they're still accepting donations, and the donation link is active. Taxpayers deserve answers. My next question is, what is the point of the advisory board for the shelter if they rarely meet and don't address major issues at hand? It seems the majority of board members have no real interest in improving our shelter. Maybe the board needs to consist of people passionate about the shelter who want to make a difference and are not afraid to speak up. And the situation in our county keeps on getting worse. Packs of dogs are roaming neighborhoods, people suffering serious dog attacks. The shelter has always been a mess, but at least you could drop off an animal in need or call to have an animal picked up. Now you get turned away and quite rudely at that. Management seems to forget that we, the taxpayer, fund the $5 million budget, so they work for us, not the other way around. People were turned away repeatedly with cats, yet last week, before the big mega event, they took in almost 100 cats from another shelter in the valley, spayed and neutered them on the county dime, but we cannot turn in any animals. And despite repeated instructions from you at this court, MCAS denies the majority of intake requests. Do I have a few more minutes?
Go ahead, a couple more.
Thank you. They're cherry-picking what animals they accept, requiring people to submit pictures, and it has been said that management is reviewing each intake request. In my personal opinion, their time would be better spent working on employee retention, increasing adoptions, and networking, all tasks they seem to neglect. One mega event does not make up for doing nothing the rest of the year. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We appreciate your comments. Yes, ma'am. If you'd come forward.
Me, ma'am?
Yes.
Me, ma'am.
Sorry, I'm a little slow getting there.
Hello, gentlemen. It's been a while since I've been here, so it is delightful to see you. Commissioner Walker, I've never met you, and you are my commissioner. I'm in Precinct 1. My name is Robbie Benson. I'm here to talk about the animal shelter, and I know you all don't like it when all of the animal people show up, but we have some serious issues, and you are the people to be able to fix those issues, so here we are. We're looking for your help. I am a member of the Animal Advisory Committee, and I want to piggyback on what Sandra Stahl said. It is very disappointing that the Animal Advisory Committee has made no progress. And they will not be making any progress not because people are not compassionate and not because people are not making suggestions, but the shelter leadership does not want anything done via the Animal Advisory Commission. So that is not about to happen unless there's some big mix-up in the running of the Animal Advisory Commission. As taxpayers, moving on, as taxpayers, the Montgomery County taxpayers are not getting what they want from their shelter, and not by a long shot. And it's so easy to do. Yes, it is very labor intensive to do, but it's also very easy to do. We are a service industry. We don't make widgets. We don't sell widgets. All we have to offer is service. And the service that we have been offering has been going down and down and down and down until we have very little in service that we're offering to our community. An example was just given to you. Cats have not been they've not been taken in for a lengthy period of time. But for a mega event, cats were imported. I think 98 cats were imported to go to this mega event. And it was news to me, but they were spayed and neutered at our facility. So how is that fair? How is that fair to us, the taxpaying citizens, who look to this shelter to be our soft place to fall for the animals of the county? I want to tell you a little bit about the people in your constituency. Did you know that the American public spent $99 billion, billion with a B, on their animals last year? Americans love spending on companion animals is growing 50% faster than the overall retail economy. 81% of people, listen to this, 81% of people consider their companion animals to be surrogate children. 3 out of 4 people say it is illegal to kill animals that are healthy, treatable, and manageable. Can I go on just a couple of minutes?
Need to stop. Thank you.
I'm sorry?
We appreciate it, Robbie. There will be others. We have other people that want to speak.
All right.
But we appreciate it.
Okay, one thing. Let me just say one thing.
Sure.
It's very hard in 3 minutes to get major points across. But the major point, the most major point that I want to get across is that we need help at the animal center. You guys are at the top of the ladder to fix this. Will you help us? We need you. Thank you.
Thank you, Robbie. We appreciate it so much. Yes, ma'am. Would you come forward, state your name for the record, and the item on the agenda, please.
Hello, my name is Anya Hunter. I'm speaking on item 12, the animal shelter, and I'm speaking as a citizen. And also, I've been affiliated with foster and rescue and things like that. My main concern is my neighborhood. I'm nervous. I live off of FM 1314 in a neighborhood off there, and I've been there for 20 years. Dogs have come and go in that neighborhood, but over the last few years, it has just been horrendous. There are packs of dogs. They don't spay and neuter, so when a female goes in heat, you have tons of male dogs that follow, and then there's fights, and dogs get killed, and it's not safe to walk in my neighborhood at all. I can't go from my front porch to my car. Sorry. Without fear of a dog coming near my dogs or near me. I apologize.
It's all right. Just take your time.
All right.
Where's your neighborhood, Anya?
Timberland. South of 1314 near 59, between 59 and Grand Parkway. But all the neighborhoods around there are becoming the same because dogs... Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Because dogs just, they roam, and they're everywhere, and they multiply because nobody will take care of them. They come with sickness. They have mange. They don't get vaccinated. And when you can't call a shelter and say, here's the problem, and they come, it continues, and it gets worse daily. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can't just leave a dog on the street to die. So some people may try to take them in. There is a language barrier as well in my neighborhood. I have tried to put up flyers to show spay and neuter is available and everything else, and it's just difficult to do. There are dogs that show up. Like I said, they're either dumped, they're abandoned, they just multiply through the process, and there just seems to be no help. In the 20 years I've been there, we used to see an animal control truck almost daily, and the number of the dogs were low. The last few years, I probably haven't seen a truck there a handful of times. I hardly ever see anybody out there ever anymore. So the problem just, it keeps multiplying, and it's very, very difficult. It's very scary. It's very stressful. I have babies of my own. Like they say, they are my children, and I have to keep them safe. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your comments. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
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 Animal Shelter 12. My name is Laura McConnell. I'm with Lone Star Animal Welfare League. Our group's primary mission is to help residents of Montgomery County with spay-neuter surgeries for their pets. We also vaccinate and microchip these pets. We've helped more than 4,000 pets in Montgomery County since 2004. Our mission is to make a healthier Montgomery County, therefore bettering the lives of our best friends. Last year, we helped 915 animals, with 95% being from Precinct 4. This year, our tally is 650 to date. I have serious concerns over how animal control is handling the stray issues in our county. The shelter denies intake of any animal that has been fed, watered, or has been on a person's property. They say it is now your dog. The shelter staff has been told to tell people to turn found dogs loose in the areas they find them. What if the dog was microchipped? What if it was your dog? More dogs on the streets means more starving, desperate dogs. They then form packs, become more feral, and might then become public safety issues. It also means more unspayed dogs on the streets continuing to have puppies. These puppies, in turn, could become feral if not taken in by humane humans who would then socialize them. This is the shelter's job. So are Montgomery County taxpayers supposed to be totally heartless? Should the humanitarians turn their backs on these animals who are suffering? Dogs are domesticated creatures that thrive on human contact. While my group spends $50,000 to $60,000 a year spaying and neutering our county's taxpayers' pets, the shelter refuses to acknowledge the consequences of their inaction. More unwanted litters on the streets, more packs of unsocialized dogs running through the neighborhoods. This can only get worse with the shelter administrators ignoring these neighborhoods in need. The stray dogs or cats, if assessed to be friendly, should then be given a second chance on a good life. The mission statement from Montgomery County on their website, one of the promises, one, is to promote and protect public safety. How is ignoring stray dogs honoring this statement? Another statement, be a humane organization that promotes the inherent value of every animal, practicing and promoting the principle that every life is precious. How is that done when Montgomery County tells people to turn the dog loose where you find it? They're demonstrating the complete opposite of their mission statement. NCAS has a $5 million budget. We don't. Rescues don't. The shelter needs to step up and do their job. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Appreciate it. Yes, ma'am.
Hello. My name is Amy Anderson. I'm also here to talk about the shelter.
If you speak into the microphone and repeat your name, please.
Amy Anderson?
Yes.
Okay. On August 30th, after filling out four applications and questionnaires online and on text, I was at the animal shelter turning in one of the three strays I had an appointment for. After dropping off the one dog, I decided to ask Joe Guidry and Dana Coyner, the director and assistant director of animal control, for help catching the remaining dog and her puppy. Dana asked me if I had called the dogs in, and I told her no, because when I called about another dog 3 months ago, I was told, we are not picking up dogs. Dana then told me two of my neighbors had called in the dogs I was describing to Joe Guidry. Joe then offered to trap the remaining mom, dog, and her puppy, and I was thrilled. I let Joe know I had pictures and addresses of where the dogs had been staying. He handed me his business card and asked me to email the information. I did just that. Joe emailed me later that day and told me a call had been generated, pictures and addresses attached, but they were private property and they would have to get permission to put out the traps. I assured him he would not get any resistance as the neighbors had all been trying to catch these dogs. On September 2nd, I emailed Joe again and told him no one had been contacted about putting the traps out and let him know another neighbor had offered to have the traps put in his yard as he had been spending a lot of time trying to earn the dog's trust. I again attached pictures and the man's name and address, and Joe never responded. On September 8th, I was walking my dogs at 6 a.m. and saw the puppy had been hit by a car and was dead in the road. The mom dog was howling and running up and down the road, and I called Joe and left him a message. He called me back at 8:30 a.m., and I asked him why no one had been there with the traps, since he had offered that solution. Joe Guidry then told me the county only has 4 traps, and one of them is broken. We have to use them on a rotating schedule. I was dumbfounded. 4 traps, one of them broken for the entire population of Montgomery County. I asked Joe to please pick up the remaining dog. As she was letting one of the neighbors pet her, he would help animal control get her in the truck. Joe was silent. I then said, the neighbor is willing to foster her, so yes, she would be an intake number, but her leaving as a foster will be a positive outtake number. Joe then said, okay, and the dog was picked up in less than 2 hours. So 4 traps, one is broken for the entire Montgomery County. I watched the budget hearing. Aaron Johnson did not ask for money for traps, nor has he spent money out of his $5-plus million budget for traps. But he did ask for a raise to take his salary up to $150,000 a year while he runs a shelter that does not correctly serve the people or the animals of Montgomery County. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. All right, is there anyone else who would like to make comments on any items on the agenda, either the consent or open? All right, thank you. If there are none, then let's move forward on our agenda to proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. Texas Association of Counties. Come on forward.
Thank you. Good morning, members of the court. My name is Rita Coaches, and I'm the County Relations Officer for 106 counties in North and East Texas, and that includes Montgomery County, I'm very proud to say. Every 2 years, the Texas Association of Counties sponsors an awards program called County Best Practices. The purpose of the program is to identify problems that are somewhat similar among counties and to identify solutions that can then be replicated by other counties. Very, very fortunately, we have 2 of those programs in Montgomery County that have been selected from many, I want to say we probably had 50 to 60 various applications this year. But among those, we've selected 2 from Montgomery County. The first is in Constable Precinct 1, Philip Cash Precinct, and it is the Crisis Intervention Texas Mental Health Program. It absolutely checks those boxes of things that are similar problems across the state of Texas and identifies solutions that are certainly replicable, but one of the things that I've noted most that I like about it is so collaborative in that it was a problem identified within the department and that was discussed on that level. Then it brought in other county offices such as the county attorney's office and eventually the commissioner's court for buy-in in the overall project. Also, I like that it identifies some of the people that we have in the past maybe identified as patients, problems, it may be a negative way. It's identified these folks as consumers and citizens and clients, bringing a little bit of respect and dignity to a process that sometimes does not get that sort of attention.
Constable Cash, why don't you come on up here as this is taking place, and then Constable, and then Rowdy, when we're done, then we'll have you come up as well with your award. Proceed.
Obviously, we all benefit from a healthier community, and to the end result, the better treatment of this problem means that we have a more efficient and effective law enforcement, and ultimately, that's a benefit to taxpayers. So at this time, I would like to recognize Constable Cash with this award.
That's awesome.
And should we get up here for pictures with the court?
What's that award look like, Cash? Let's see it.
Commissioner, come on up here. Stand right here in front of this officer. Yeah. Come on over here, and we'll all stand right here behind you. Thank you.
One, two, three. One, two, three. Okay. There we go. Real quick.
Thank you.
Heather, you're his better half. Why don't you come on up here and get a picture?
Yeah,
of
I'll get a
Jason.
Picture of y'all, too.
Come on.
I'll take one, too. All right. One, two, three. All right.
That's excellent. Thank you all.
Good job.
Congratulations, Constable.
Well done.
There you go.
Constable Hayden.
Our second award is from Montgomery County Constable Precinct 4. He's coming forward now, Constable Kenneth Hayden. The Constable 180 program, which is an addiction treatment resource program that identifies specific resources, and they have not only identified those resources, but set up a system for putting all of those in place with another collaborative effort among law enforcement, those resource agencies, and sharing where the information where it's needed most, and that is with those end users. Again, we all benefit when we have a productive, healthy population. That's good for law enforcement. I would also note both of these programs are really kind of the kind of programs that they're trying to put themselves out of business. To identify these folks who have these kinds of needs and then to make the resources available to them through their agencies and through just ongoing support of those that population. So we have an award.
Here
we go. You want to take that around to... Uh-oh. Okay, and then we'll go back here with... One, two, three. There we go.
Thank you. Want to get a picture? Constable Cash, come on up here. We'll get a picture of everybody together. So proud of you guys from Montgomery County. You're doing so proud. It's just awesome.
All right. Would the four of y'all back there get behind them a little bit more? We'll even this up a little.
Move over this way. Move a little bit to the left.
Okay. Yeah, move this way a little bit. Right there. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. One. There we go. Two. Three. Two, three. All right.
Got it.
Outstanding. Congratulations, gentlemen. Thank you all so much.
Lastly, I would just note that these will be featured in County Magazine as well as social media, probably in a podcast that is done by the TAC Communications Department. We are grateful to Montgomery County for your support of these programs, for making them available to us to share with other counties, and then for your particular offices who have agreed to be resources for other counties who may want to somehow duplicate those programs in their county on whatever basis they can based on their population and their economic funds. So thank you again for your participation and also for your participation in the Texas Association of Counties. On behalf of our Executive Director, Susan Redford, and our board that is made up of your fellow county officials, we appreciate your membership and your connection and participation in TAC.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming and presenting those. That's outstanding. All right, as we move forward in our agenda, our county clerk, we have minutes from April 2nd, 23rd, and 26th. Do I have a motion to approve all three?
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, let's move to our consent agenda. There's one item that we would like to remove, and that is S3B. It's on page 8 of 12. We're going to pull it from the agenda at some other time, reconsider it, but at this point, we're going to pull it down. Is there anything else that we would like? Yes, on page
S3B.
S3B. S3B as in boy.
It's S3B.
B?
Oh.
As in boy. It's the 1722 Horseshoe Way.
All right. And is there anything else?
Yes, I'd like to move item 10D1A, D, and E under purchasing on page 3, all of those to open. A, D, and E. So I move with those two changes.
All right. Do we have any other modifications you'd like to make to the consent agenda? If there are none, do I have a motion to approve with modifications?
I do.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, thank you. Let's move forward. Commissioner Nowak, 10B1.
Yes, this is just something that I've noticed, and Gilbert, if you could step on up.
What page is that on, Commissioner?
It's on page 3. I don't want to call out a particular vendor. I'm using these three as an example, but I think purchasing should, when one of our vendors comes to you with a request to increase their fees just on a blanket percentage, I think we need to find out a little bit more on why. You can't tell me that it makes sense for a company to say everything we do costs 15% more going forward, or everything we do is going to cost 10% more or 2%.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to be a little bit more particular on that. It's happened before. It's gone through.
Mm-hmm.
I think going forward, I'd like to see some specifics on why and how that happens.
Okay.
Other than just a blanket, we need more money, because that's kind of what it looks like to me.
Okay. We can do that.
All right.
With that being said, are any of these things that have to be approved today, would we not be able to continue these services if we waited 2 weeks?
You can pull it. We can defer it.
Would you like to defer it? Is that what you're suggesting?
I think the sheriff
has not your.
Yep.
Oh, E can't. We need to do E.
E needs to move forward.
But you said,
and that's only 2%. And Sheriff, I didn't think about this until I started reading it again, and just the whole
right.
Concept
E has to
of just a flat increase.
Right. E needs to go. E needs to be approved
okay.
if possible.
And I'm paying for that out of commissary. So,
okay.
And that,
got it.
That's down from a huge request that they made.
Yeah.
So we negotiated that down to what it is.
Good. So you've already done that.
Right.
Yeah. All the work, all the legwork's been done. Gilbert's been great. So
perfect.
I ask that you approve that.
Okay.
Good. Does anybody else mind if we defer A and D until we?
It'd be
A
and what?
A and D.
D.
Whoa. Is A through D or
no,
A and D.
D?
A and B.
A and D, like dog.
Okay. Defer those. Okay. And
we'll defer those two.
All right.
Okay. Like dog. That's
good. Yeah.
All right. Then we have a motion to approve B, C, and E.
Yes, sir. Move.
All right. We have a second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. All right. Let's move forward. Emergency Management, Jason Millsaps. This was a deferred item from our previous court. You've done the research and you've come back to us.
Yes, Commissioners. We actually talked about it. We asked to come back to pare it down from some items that the auditor's office was concerned with that may be law enforcement specific and not eligible for that type of funding source with ARPA. That's exactly what we did. We pared it down from the requests previous, took out the law enforcement specific supplies. This would just be basically renting the facility and making the facility habitable during the 6 months that it's rentable, rented for us to use as a training facility for first responders, law enforcement, and fire and EMS to do alert and ARES training that would address a number of things throughout the county. So.
And they did confirm it's ARPA eligible?
The facility, the request as it is now is, the specifics that was in the previous request was the ammunition rounds that the officers will use. Since it's ammunition related, it's not something that ARPA would cover as a training aid even, and so we've pulled that out. There's a big difference. I mean, it was a lot of ammunitions. They're very expensive. The sheriff's office has told me they have resources to handle theirs in-house. The constables have resources handle theirs in-house. We may have some ancillary departments throughout the county that are not county departments, but other issues that where they may not have enough resources. And OEM will work with them and UWASI to see if we can find some UWASI-funded simulation rounds to get them able to train through the facility.
Well, thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, the one item I did omit from this that's not listed because it's specifically listed what we need to do is I do need a porta potty. So would you at least add a porta potty to my request? It will not increase the cost. I have enough funding there, but the building is completely, there's no water, no electricity. The request would put electricity, lighting, and air conditioning and heating in for temporarily on a rental basis, but I did not put rental porta potties in. So
yeah. It was down from five. It's up. Yeah. It was 550. Now it's 325.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Move with
Thank
the porta potty to be included.
Thank you.
All right. I'll second that. Is there any more discussion?
I'll second that motion.
Can we have 2 seconds? I beat you to that one.
Did you?
All right. All in favor? Opposed. Motion carries.
Appreciate it. When we get open on this, I'll make sure you guys know so you can come out and watch some of the trainings. We've been using it already. It's been very successful. It's a unique facility. We have nothing like it in the county or even in the region that I'm aware of open like this for this type of training. So we'll make sure you get the calendar scheduled events and come out and take a look at it, see how useful it's being.
Excellent. Thank you, Jason. And appreciate that so much. Commissioner.
Yes, sir.
This was your item, Animal Shelter. Proceed.
Yeah, 12A was my item. Aaron, we got it from here for now. My office was contacted by several of the people that spoke today and many others about ongoing issues at the animal shelter. And they have not fallen on deaf ears. It is concerning to me that when the court gives directives that they don't seem to be followed up on. Even at times when I make phone calls up there, sometimes it's a little hard for me to get the answer that I'm looking for. And so what I'm going to suggest is that in order to provide some clarity for the direction of the shelter, I'd like to make a motion to give Judge Mark Keough full authority and discretion over the animal shelter to oversee all operations, including all personnel matters.
And development of policy.
And to develop policies and procedures that are going to be satisfying to those who pay the bills, which are our taxpayers and our citizens. So I'd like to move on that.
Second. Motion, second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate that so much.
So everyone now, please call Judge Mark Keough with questions about the animal shelter.
Oh, trust me. They're not afraid to call or email. All right, elections.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
Susie was unable to be here today. She is ill, so I'm taking over.
All right.
We would like for you to consider and approve the order to adopt the Hart Inter Civic Verity Duo voting system.
Right. Move it. You have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Proceed. Item B.
Consider and approve the resolution for the rental of county-owned voting system equipment and fees.
Move. You have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you
very much. We appreciate it. All right, let's move on to our public hearing. Amy, if you would please.
Consider the proposed application for a partial replat of Phase 1 Blue Jack National and partial replat of Reserve W Blue Jack National Phase 1A, partial replat number 1, to be known as Blue Jack National Phase 1B, partial replat number 3. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to combine lots 10 and 11, Block 1 of Phase 1B, Blue Jack National. The plat is not ready, but today is public hearing. Is anyone here to speak about it?
Is this one we need to take action on, Amy, or are we just
considering?
Nope, we're
not going to.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Proceed.
Precinct 2, consider and approve changing the name of Williams Fritz Road to Pinehurst Lane. Is anybody here to speak about that?
Right.
And Precinct 4, consider and approve the placement of signs prohibiting the parking of commercial vehicles at the intersections of Allendale Terrace Drive and North Lake Houston Parkway and Ricewood Drive and North Lake Houston Parkway. Is anybody here to speak about that?
All right. Thank you. That being the case, we'll reconvene court. Action that we'd like to take is a motion on
14B1 and C1.
We have a motion to approve. Do we have a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you so much. At this time, we're going to temporarily recess for executive session. The court, pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to which Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. We'll be a few minutes, and then we shall return. Thank you all very much. All for waiting. We have returned from executive session, reconvened court. We have one item we would like to take action on. Commissioner Nowak.
Yes, sir. I'd like to, on item 15B, make a motion to move on this and to authorize Judge Keogh to sign any and all documents related to the same.
To settle claim number 800.6013.
Correct.
Correct. All right. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Are there any other comments that any citizens would like to share with us? Yes.
I'd like to talk about border security. My name is Paul Gregory, and I reside in Precinct 2.
Hey, Paul, thank you.
About a week ago, I attended a conference in the state capitol about our lack of border security. Our legislators were invited along with concerned citizens. Sadly, outside of the concerned citizens, were only a handful of our legislators that showed up. I think that spoke to me as one of the most important facts of the day. Let me share a little bit with you about what I learned. The Biden administration is purposely ignoring the laws of the United States to the detriment of the people of Texas, our nation, and to the people who want to come here. I mentioned the people who want to come here because since the Biden administration began, we've seen over 1,000 dead migrants. The Biden administration could largely secure our border in a matter of days. Not 100% secure because there's still infrastructure that needs to be completed, but by just changing policy and not catching and releasing illegals back into the country, Biden could, and he could do this with a stroke of his pen. People are dying because their borders are wide open. They're controlled by the cartels, with illegals pouring into Texas by thousands daily. Why? Because 89% of our border patrol is tied up just processing the illegals and shipping them out so they can move throughout the country. One single processing facility in Eagle Pass handles over 1,500 illegals, immigrants a day. The cartels are now operating in the United States. That's right, not just Texas, but the United States. They assist groups in selling dangerous drugs by mapping out specifically assigned territories in the U.S., and they control these areas to prevent others from joining in. Of course, they take a cut of the profits. Texans are dying. We had two of our own local students killed back in May as a result of fentanyl poisoning, and I'm sure Sheriff Henderson could give us many examples of the issues this is causing in our local area. A group was recently stopped, noted to be in possession of enough fentanyl to kill 150% of all Texans. Commissioners, we need your support, as this situation is getting worse. The Biden administration is not going to fix the problem. In fact, they've purposely done just the opposite, by making it clear there are no consequences for entering our country illegally. Our U.S. Constitution, under Article 1, Section 8, gives the federal government the power to call forth a militia, to execute the laws of the state, to suppress insurrections, and to repel invasions when the federal gives our federal government power to call a militia to execute the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrections and repel invasions, and they've not done so. Our Texas Constitution, under Article 4, Section 7, gives the governor of Texas the power to call forth the militia to execute the laws of the state, to suppress insurrections, and to repel invasions when the federal government fails to exercise their responsibility to do so. At the present time, over 20 counties in Texas have declared an invasion of the Texas border, along with many Texas sheriffs. I'm asking this court to step forward and to show us the leadership that you have promised and join other counties, sheriffs, and cities in Texas to declare the invasion. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. We appreciate it so much. All right. Yes. Is there anyone else? Yes.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer Eckhart, and I'm also speaking to Border Security. We have some of us citizens on, I guess, with the help of Jonathan Houlihan, attorney extraordinaire, presented a resolution for the county to sign, which is calling for additional measures to secure the border and to stop the evasion at our border and protect our communities. As Paul mentioned, we're having problems with fentanyl. I'm sure Mr. Metz is not here, but he could attest to this. We know that there are thousands of people from the cartels being shipped over to East County. They are making makeshift homes over in King's Colony that are built by hand and do not have proper sewage. In addition to obviously creating a burden on the citizens over there for the schools, there's a danger factor. We know that if we were going to ever ask Abbott to do something, probably now is the best time, right before his reelection. And so I, as opposed to not doing something to make him look, because it might make him look bad, I think now is the time that we capitalize on it and get him to do something for our counties, because there's 20 counties that have already signed this resolution. I like Montgomery County to be in that lead group. We're not leading because there's already 20, but I'd like us to be in that lead group and join them. So thank you.
Now, we saw an initial, as a matter of fact, not a discussion, but we saw an initial resolution, and then we were going to get another one, having been looked at by the attorney Houlihan. I've not seen the second one.
The second one is the correct one, or the one you have is the correct one. It was sent by him, and it was adjusted for non-border counties.
Okay.
So it's specific to us.
All right, thank you.
The one you have is a good one.
Appreciate it. All right. Yes.
Hi, my name is Cindy Phillips, and just to piggyback on what Jennifer just said, it was actually asked to be put on the agenda and was looked at, and I believe I was told that Jason Millsaps removed it from the agenda on Friday. So I was in contact with your office about that. But basically, I just wanted to add on to that some people do not realize this, but nearly 5 million, we're at 4.9 million now, have crossed the border illegally from the southern border, and they represent well over 100 countries. This is not Mexico coming into our country. This is the world, and many of them are the dregs of their country, society, coming in. So these aren't stellar people. And this has been going on ever since the Biden administration implemented significant policy changes at the southern border. Last Wednesday, several of us in this room, and you've already heard from some of them, joined over 100 others at the Capitol in Austin for a border education summit, which the invitation was extended here as well, where we heard from Congressman Chip Roy, Senator Bob Hall, Sheriff Coe, Walter West was from our county, but no elected officials or anyone else from our county was there, to sound the alarm regarding the dire situation at the border. As of today, 22 counties, Texas counties, have declared an invasion on the southern border or approved a resolution in support of border counties. Montgomery County is not on that list. The Texas Public Policy Foundation, which many consider a centrist organization, have called for the state of Texas to declare an invasion. The Republican Party has officially called for the state of Texas to declare an invasion. While we are thankful that Governor Abbott has done more than any other governor at the southern border, the 22 counties, the Texas Public Policy Foundation, and the RBT are asking that he do even more to protect the Texans' natural rights of life and liberty. The open border is killing Americans with a record amount of fentanyl deaths, largely from chemicals sourced in communist China and manufactured in the Mexican cartels. In fact, on Fox News last week, Montgomery County Sheriff Rand Henderson said the illicit drug fentanyl that's pouring into Texas through the southern border should be labeled as weapons of mass destruction. Sheriff Henderson recognizes the problem with the invasion of the southern border. If our very own sheriff recognizes the problem, Montgomery County should join the 22 counties, the Republican Party of Texas, the Texas Public Policy Foundation, and stand up for the rule of law and for the citizens of Montgomery County. Montgomery County should also declare an invasion and call upon the governor to use the constitutional authority granted to him under Article 4, Section 7 of the Texas Constitution and Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution to repel the invasion of the sovereignty of Texas, stop the invasion of fentanyl, human and sex trafficking, which I will add should be called the rape slave trade and the organ harvesting trade, because that is what's happening to these people, and the warfare that has been unleashed across our state by cartel criminal networks, I strongly encourage the Montgomery County Commissioners Court to declare an invasion or sign a resolution in support of the counties that have and have the courage to do so. If not, the citizens of Montgomery County do deserve to know why. Thank you so much.
If I just make a comment on fact, last May we did produce a resolution.
Yes, sir, I saw that.
It was pretty close to a duplicate. It was the first, we were the first in the state to do it, and we sent for 5 months.
Yes, sir.
Just so you know that Montgomery County are not cowards.
No, no, nobody's calling you cowards.
When you use the phraseology, the courage to do so.
Okay.
We have the courage.
You do. I apologize for that.
We're taking the courage.
Yes,
sir. We continue. And we're in support of closed borders.
I appreciate that. And I did read the, I was pointed to that document, and I did find it dated May 25th of 2021, and I read it. And it did, exact wording I don't remember, but it was to the effect of recognizing that there was a humanitarian crisis at the border. There is a humanitarian crisis at the border. There is a drug overdose. There's all kinds.
There's no,
I just wanted to make a comment.
There's no,
I just want to make a comment.
I understand.
Now we're beyond the discussion stage.
I understand.
Legally.
Thank you.
Anyway,
okay.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It
appreciate
so
it.
Much.
Thank
and I will talk to you afterwards if you'd like to chat for a few moments.
You got?
Yeah.
He was waiting.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know. I know. I saw him in my peripheral vision and shut that deal down. Here, come on. Yes, ma'am, if you would, please.
Not that it's not a good conversation to have. But
may I give you a handout?
It's not appropriate.
Sure. Here. Yes, you may.
I have something.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So once again, my name is Deborah Ferris, and I am part of the Homestead community. We're asking that you declare...